The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Yeah, yeah. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. A little bit after 8 o'clock. And joining us right now, everyone's favorite Boston Red Sox fan, it's Jared Carrabas. What's up, Jared?
Keith, how are we living right now?
Man, I'm good, honestly. How are you?
I'm a little under the weather, but, you know, all this Juan Soto talk got me feeling a little bit better. You know, I can't say too great, but a little bit better.
I know you're a gym guy. Go to the gym and sweat it out. Also hit some of
That's
that ginger. Get some of that tea in you. Get some ginger in the tea, some lemon. I just took a cold, too. I was sick through the whole Thanksgiving, Black Friday. I'm trying to think what else I did. It is literally the weather. It is being under the weather. It's cold now. It's like walking to work. I'm fighting the cold. I can't have on enough layers. But anyway, yeah, Juan Soto. Before we get to Juan Soto, congratulations on Aroldis Chapman. You found your closer.
God, I mean, Liam Hendricks is my closer, but man, Aroldis Chapman felt like a sick joke. I'm not even lying. I was in therapy. When I saw the news come across, I had to explain to my therapist why I was like, I wish I had my reaction on camera, because I didn't know what to feel. I like laughed, but it wasn't funny at the same time. I was just like, man, like, I know my mentions are about to explode.
Yeah, he's you're my a big supporter. You're like, if you actually searched Aroldis or Chapman, just Chapman, and your name on Twitter, there's 100 great tweets.
I mean, put it this way, like, my reaction tweet is almost at a million views. It's been up for like 9 hours. I think people are like, what is he going to say? How's he going to feel? And honestly, like, we haven't done a podcast yet. We're going to do the podcast tomorrow night. So this is my first time speaking about it. You get first dibs. I still don't quite know how to process the news, because I can look at it from both sides. Do I like the guy? No. Do I like the signing? Not really. Like, I would have rather had Tanner Scott, but I think the Red Sox are probably looking at it as, we can spend a little less and get similar results. If we want the hard throwing lefty that can get the swing and miss, then this is the route we're going to go. But I don't know, man. Like, there's no way that there's going to be a moment where I'm like, you know what? Maybe this guy ain't so bad. Like, it's just, I'm going to have to ignore him. Like, I'm going to just have to power through the season. Like, he's going to be on a team for a year, and I'm going to have to ignore his existence. And that's fine. I've done that with guys before. Like, guys that, you know, I'm like, all right, you're on my team. That doesn't mean I have to like you, but that's what we're dealing with here.
You'll never be able to ignore that video of him rubbing up his grandmother.
That's true. That is true. I mean, that's what sucks about this, is if it weren't for all the off the field stuff, like, at least we could have done something with that. But like, I can't even do anything with that. Like, I
yeah.
just
there's stuff that we can't laugh like about and joke about. There are some other things from the past that aren't really funny, but
He's yours. Right. He's yours. And I'll say this about him. Like, I mean, he was better getting away from New York. He was better as a Pittsburgh Pirate. He won a World Series with the Rangers. Like, he showed he still got it. It didn't work here, as you know. I know every time the Yankees lost in the postseason and Chapman was on the mound, you smiled wherever you were.
A lot of times I was on camera, Keith, and I made sure everyone knew how I felt in those moments, specifically the 2019 American League Championship Series. I basically cut a WWE promo on his ass after he gave up that home run to Altuve. So I don't know. And it's not to say, because I always get the "you won't say it to his face." Like, I always get that from Yankee fans, "you won't say it to his face." That's not true. I've been mere inches away from this man multiple times.
You will be again. You definitely will be.
And I will be again. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been a thing with, you know, specifically Yankee players, but even like guys on my own team, like Pablo Sandoval, we have a long standing beef, have no problem, you know, talking trash to Pablo Sandoval face to face. And with Chapman, I mean, we're definitely going to cross paths. Like, it's, you know, it's inevitable. So I'm going to keep it to baseball. You know, if he doesn't perform well, he's going to hear it. And I don't know. It's going to be like an awkward existence.
It's,
you know,
it's fine. This is what these guys do. They talk trash to fans. I know you're a big Jaren Duran supporter. It's regular. You know, these guys just have back and forth with the fans. And, you know, we move on from it.
It is what it is.
But the real reason that the Red Sox signed Aroldis Chapman is Dominicano, 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 Dominicano. We understand the full Dominican press is on the generational Juan Soto, from David Ortiz to Pedro Martinez to Manny Ramirez, Rafael Devers. Now you bring in Chapman, it's like, okay, all the reports over the weekend from these random Dominican reporters, these random verified accounts on Twitter, they all got to be true. It's a done deal. He's going to be a Boston Red Sox. Where are you guys going to play Juan Soto? Left field, right field, Green Monster, pesky pole?
I mean, here's the thing about the whole Juan Soto sweepstakes and the Red Sox involvement. Yeah, there's some clout chasers out there. There are definitely some people looking for their clout. And where there's smoke, there's fire sometimes. With the Red Sox involvement, I think it's going to come down to your Yankees, the New York Mets, and I do think the Red Sox will be that third team at the end of the day. I do. Ken Rosenthal just dropped a piece. I don't know if you got a chance to see it if you were on the air, but more or less saying, you know, that the remaining teams have all gotten to $600 million or north of it. And as a Red Sox fan, I'm looking at that saying, okay, you have now doubled your best offer that you've ever made in franchise history, which is a far cry from where the Red Sox have been the last 5 years. You know, they wouldn't pay Mookie Betts 300 and whatever he got. What was it? 365,
But it was clearly the right move. It was clearly the right decision.
I mean, the Red Sox, this idea that they're now cursed because they didn't pay Mookie Betts. If they turn around and pay Juan Soto, I don't think anyone's going to be talking about Mookie anymore. They're going to be like, all right, we got our franchise guy. We got him younger. He's 26. Mookie's what, 32, going on 33. You know, if you were to ask me, would you rather have Juan Soto right now at 26 for $600 million or Mookie Betts at 33 for 365? Give me Juan Soto. So I think all is forgiven. I don't want to hear a word about Mookie Betts if the Red Sox sign Juan Soto.
See,
are they the favorites? No.
That's the thing, too. I know how in touch you are with the fan base. I literally think about you being on stage at the Fan Fest and, like, talking to ownership. Like, you are the voice in between, literally between the fans and the ownership. And you can speak to the fans how they felt when that happened and how they'll feel if this happens. Do you get a sense or a gauge that, like, ownership knows they have to go land a big fish like that, specifically this one here, to make up for, you know, past failures or past not spending?
I don't think they're thinking of it as let's make up for Mookie Betts. I think they're thinking of it as let's build that next great Red Sox core and win a fifth World Series title under this ownership group. I think they've, in a way, learned from their mistakes of the past. I mentioned the name Pablo Sandoval. The Red Sox finished in last place in 2012, won the World Series in 2013, finished in last place in 2014, and then tried to get out from under that by giving money to Hanley Ramirez. They had no spot for him. They were like, I guess he'll play left field. And that was he was the worst defensive left fielder of all time. Put him at first base. He wasn't so bad. Then they put him at DH, and they were like, well, we need the DH spot. So they got rid of him. And then Pablo, I believe, was the second most money ever left on a contract on a player to get DFA'd. So I think they learned from their mistakes of, hey, if we don't have the group to do this, let's just not go out and spend a bunch of money in free agency and hope for the best. Like, let's work on building that next core. And then when we think we have that next core, then we spend the money. And right now, the Red Sox have six players in the top 100 for their prospects. And I mean, you can make a case that two of them, I would put some scratch on them being eventual all-stars in Major League Baseball, and Christian Campbell and Roman Anthony. Like, those guys are legit. So, yeah, I think the Red Sox learned their lesson. Don't just spend random money, but when it's time to spend, we spend. Like, that happened 2007, that JD Drew, Dice K, all those guys, they spent, they won the World Series. So that, I think that's just what we're seeing. We're seeing smartly timed spending.
Yeah. And I think it's legitimate. I do think that the Red Sox are in on this one. I do understand the Dominican fans and their ties with the players and watching those championships. Even Juan Soto, the age that he is, right? He didn't watch the Yankees win in the 90s, but he certainly watched the Red Sox and the World Series that they won in more recent times. So I think it's valid. It's all there. And I also think this is business, right? I think that, you know, with you guys trying to host an all-star game, with it being remodeled up there, it's like, hey, you got to bring in a star, not just Devers. But here's a question for you. I, like, one thing that kind of jammed me up, you know, Devers as a third baseman projecting as a DH and Juan Soto as an outfielder projecting as a DH, you can't have two of those guys making all that money potentially being a DH. There's got to be some type of pathway to that, or like, what do you see for that in the future if Juan Soto signs with the Red Sox?
Yeah, I think it's infielder, outfielder, right? Like, Devers already right now is not a good defender at third base. You can put him at first. I'd rather have him at DH. But Juan Soto, it's Fenway Park. Just stick him in left field. Like, at Yankee Stadium, I mean, right field, there's a lot of space out there. Like, you don't have to be some elite defender. Like, Manny Ramirez was the Red Sox left fielder for almost a decade. Like, I'm not worried about Juan Soto in left field at Fenway Park.
Yeah, neither were we. That's why when we went up there, Verdugo played right and Juan Soto played left. And you just got a rebound. You just got to, you know, pick it up off the backboard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about him. Like we're talking about, like, the back years of this deal, if he's ever going to be a DH or whatever. But that's also just a crazy thought as a Red Sox fan to have is, well, if we sign Juan Soto, what do we do with him? I don't know. Just get him on the team. We'll figure it out. Like, it's Juan Soto. Like, I'm not worried about where he fits.
There are crazy Yankee fans saying, he's not a good defender. We signed him for 15 years. What are we going to do with him? What are we going to do with Judge? How's it going to work? I'm like, it's going to work. We got Stanton still. He's DH'ing. I'm like, they're going to find ways to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, Judge in center field is I feel like those days are numbered. I don't know how you feel about it.
I mean, I know you talked a lot about it. I listened to the podcast. I watched your videos on that drop pop-up. How much did you enjoy that fifth inning as a Red Sox fan from the outside looking in?
I wish that it was someone else other than I love Aaron Judge. I'm a Judgey guy, so I wish it was someone other than Aaron Judge.
If it could have been Verdugo.
Yeah, if it was Verdugo, that would have been great. You know, but it pains me because I am an Aaron Judge fan. Like, I wanted this playoff run to be his A-Rod 09 run, where it was just, hey, I had a great season, and let me carry that into the postseason, and maybe not win a World Series. I don't need that happening, but just kind of, like, shut the people up that he can't do it in the playoffs. And he can do it in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen it. Up until up until the boombox game, if you go back and look at his playoff numbers, he had an OPS over 1,000 for like his first, whatever it was, like 18 playoff games or something like that. So he can do it, but he's just on an ungodly, awful stretch of playoff baseball.
Strikeouts.
But I am actually rooting for the guy.
He just can't duplicate what he does in the regular season over the stretch of the postseason. It's hard. No one can duplicate what Judge does in the regular season and the postseason. But I think, like I've been saying, he failed at the highest level. There's no higher level to fail on. Like, he's got that off his back. Like, you can't embarrass yourself any more than dropping that pop-up and striking out that many times. No. You know, whatever. It's done. Last thing for you, the golden at-bat rule. Like, are we getting too far? Like, I get it that, you know, other sports have evolved and baseball has evolved for the better, right? I know, you know, you and I are people that have been content creators in baseball for over 10 years and people that, like, just like baseball, never thought we had to make baseball cool again, never thought we had to reinvent the wheel. But I feel like now we're getting a little too far. Like, how do you score that? Or, like, how do we police that? Or, like, how do you actually make a golden at-bat rule where you can put somebody in, and then, like, it's going to backfire. Like, do I want Judge having that golden at-bat? I don't.
I don't want it to go into effect, but I like that they're thinking this way. That's kind of where I fall on it, is I'm going to pass on this rule, but let's continue the conversation. Let's continue thinking of ways that we can spice things up. Because I see the logic, and I agree with the logic, right? Like, think about basketball. If the game is on the line and you're down by two, you want the ball in the hands of your best shooter. And more often than not, that's what you get. If you show up, the best player is going to have the ball in their hands with that in that spot. So why not have the best hitter in that spot? Well, because that's not baseball. That's why. You know, it's just basketball is basketball and baseball is baseball. But so for me, it's like, yeah, this one's going to be a pass, but I like that we're thinking this way, and I like that, you know, Manfred is not, you know, for a man his age, he's not someone that is shying away from thinking outside the box, thinking of entertaining rule changes that he knows are going to upset traditionalists. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where you have to go. You have to be unafraid to upset those people.
Yeah, I mean, I think Manfred is going to go out in these next 5 years before you. I think he's going to make radical changes. I've already said he's going to realign. We're going to expand. They're going to shorten the season. Like, Manfred, and by 2009, baseball is going to look way different, and maybe we'll be cool with that. Maybe that'll be okay. Maybe the future has those things for baseball to stay alive and well, and I think it is alive and well. I think this was a great year for the sport. Obviously, the Dodgers and Yankees, the dream World Series happening, and as dramatic as it was, like, I think baseball's in a good spot. And this next year is going to be just as good, if not better.
And I think we can both agree that no matter what happens, Juan Soto cannot go to the Dodgers. That would be...
I thought you were going to say the Mets.
We can't have that.
Yeah, I was going to say he cannot be a Met. That would just be so lame.
Best case scenario is he goes to the Mets. Because then I don't have him, you don't have him, and he gets the most money. Good for him.
And he only goes to the postseason like three more times the rest of his career.
Sure. He's already got his ring. Go get your bag, dude.
Yeah, he's not going to the Dodgers. Did you just see Blake Snell talking about, like, oh, yeah, the top three hitters in their lineup. Like, this guy's literally can't beat him, join him. You play for the Padres, you play for the San Francisco Giants, and then you put that jersey on talking about how you've wanted to live in L.A. and how you're glad to not be going against those guys, and they're hitting for me. I'm like, this is where we've gotten in baseball.
It's crazy. And, I mean, I respect the Dodgers' hustle. Like, I respect the fact that, you know, this is a team that routinely was going to the World Series, and then in the following year
they
was
always improve.
Making improvements.
They make trades.
Yeah, it's like we're either going to sign the improve. Top guy. Yeah, like I respect the hell out of that. But we're now at the point where it's like, all right, dude, relax. Like, chill out.
Yeah, you, just you, know, like, you just won. You're trying to go back-to-back? Like, all right.
Yeah, and like, they're good enough to go back-to-back as is. And you know, it is... It is what it is with the Dodgers, man. Like, they have it absolutely figured out in terms of marketing and just player development, and they care. I mean, isn't that what we all want from our owners? Is, you know, go out there and create the best possible team. Put a video game lineup out there.
The Dodgers money are doing game. That. Everybody can defer money, but it seems to be one team that's got all it. You got to defer money on Tommy Edman?
That's crazy.
You got to do Tommy Edmonds deal with deferred money? All right, all right. I see what y'all are doing. I can't knock the hustle, can't hate the player, hate the game.
They're just going to keep doing it until somebody stops them. And that's, I think we're getting there. I don't know what it's going to take, but eventually we're going to get to that point. Kind of how, you know, old school Red Sox Yankees, where, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox, they both wanted Curt Schilling going into 04. And Schilling was like, I could go there, get another ring, and add another championship to the Yankees trophy case. Or I could go to Boston and give them their first in 86 years. Like, that has more appeal to me. Eventually, like, I know these guys that are signing with the Dodgers think it's cool. Like, oh, we're assembling the Avengers over here.
Let's link up.
Yeah. Eventually, players will be like, nah, like, I want to beat them. Like, they think they're so great.
That's the spirit of competition. You're supposed to want to go knock off the champs. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're getting very close to, you know, maybe it's Juan Soto. Maybe the, like, I don't think the Dodgers are going to have the bet because he doesn't want deferred money. Like, Juan Soto's not going to take the Dodgers deferred payments, so that's why he's not going there. But if there were another superstar player coming up on free agency and the Dodgers are hot on his tails, and he's like, you know what? I don't even care if the Dodgers have the best offer. I want to beat the Dodgers. Eventually, we're going to get there, and we're not that far off.
Jared, you're the man. Appreciate you doing this while you're fighting the cold, man. I'm telling you, ginger, lemon, honey, get the hot water, the hot tea, and you'll clear that right up.
I'm about to crush some tea right now.
I owe you one, bro. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you, Keith.